I remember once, it was a Sunday morning, it was right before Mass, I was standing in the back of the church, right near the holy water font, and we were about to begin Mass, and all the altar boys were around, and one of them said to me, "Knock, knock." And I said, "Who's there?" And he took the holy water, sprinkled it, and said, "John the Baptist." Well, today we have John the Baptist telling us to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths. Let's take a look for a few moments first at the life and ministry of John the Baptist. He's really the great saint of Advent, because he's the one who prepares us for receiving Christ with joy at Christmas, which is just 2 weeks away. So John the Baptist is given us today in today's reading. And what do we know about the life of John the Baptist? Well, we know that he was the first prophet in 400 years. The chosen people, the Jewish people, were waiting for the Messiah. And time went on. They knew the Messiah was coming. And they were so excited when John the Baptist came on the scene. He was the first prophet in 400 years. And they figured, well, maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is the Christ. So they went to him. And of course, they asked him. He said, "No. I am the voice crying out in the desert to prepare the way for the Messiah, to prepare the way for the Lord." Well, John the Baptist had a unique birth. His parents were elderly, they were barren, they were beyond childbearing age, and yet, miraculously, they conceived a child, and they named him John. And John was cleansed of original sin in his mother's womb. John was 6 months in his mother's womb when Mary, the cousin, came carrying Jesus in her womb. Mary had been at the Annunciation, and the angel Gabriel said, "Are you willing to give birth to the Son of God?" Mary said yes. Immediately, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the Son of God became incarnate in her womb. It says Mary went with haste to the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So it takes about a week to get there. So Jesus is only 6 days old in his mother's womb. John the Baptist is 6 months old in Elizabeth's womb. So here you have the meeting of the two mothers and the two unborn children. And it says, at the voice, when as soon as Mary spoke, Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, and John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. He was a witness to Christ even in the womb. And he leapt for joy. He danced in his mother's womb, just as King David had danced before the Ark of the Covenant, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the presence of King David. And it says that John the Baptist was sanctified, cleansed of original sin, even from his mother's womb. So from the womb until really the tomb in the dungeon of King Herod, John the Baptist was a witness. So John the Baptist was cleansed, sanctified, and really that was the first miracle that Jesus ever brought about. Long before Cana, 30 years before Cana, there was this quiet miracle, the sanctification of John the Baptist, the cleansing of John in the womb. So it was really the Lord's first miracle that he did when he was only a week in his mother's womb. Now John the Baptist would be raised in the desert. He would be a wild man preaching the gospel, preaching, prepare the way for the Lord. He was very penitential. He wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he's telling people to get ready for the Messiah. Get ready for the Lord. And so John would tell people to prepare themselves. And he would speak out against the moral problems of the day. For example, Herod was living with his brother's wife, and he spoke out against this. And for that reason, he was arrested and put in prison. And John was a man of great humility. In today's gospel, he said, "I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal strap of the Messiah." And he would say that he must increase and I must decrease. That's a good spiritual lesson for all of us, right? During Advent, we want Jesus to increase within us, and we want to decrease our selfishness, our pride, our impatience. We want to get rid of self to be filled with Christ. So we follow the example of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is such a great man of humility, a man preparing the way for the Lord. Now, how should we prepare? We have 2 weeks left for Christmas. What should we do over these last couple weeks? We've now entered into our third week of Advent. So we light the beautiful rose-colored candle, and we're now entering this third week. We wear the beautiful vestments today on Gaudete Sunday. Today is Rejoicing Sunday. Well, why is the color rose used today? Well, when you mix the white of Christmas with the purple of Advent, you get the rose color. So it's the day of joy. And of course, there's six words that every priest dreads to hear today. Father, you look great in pink, okay? Now, it's actually the beautiful liturgical color of rose, which is a symbol of joy. Again, when you take the Christmas, which is the glory of the brightness, the white, mix it with the penitential season of Advent, you get the rose. And this is a day of rejoicing because we've now completed 2 weeks of Advent and just 2 weeks until we celebrate the birth of our Savior again. So really the theme of today's Mass is joy. And if you take a look at that second reading, you'll see what St. Paul tells us to do. And he gives us three recommendations. He says, rejoice always. Number two, pray without ceasing. And number three, in all circumstances, give thanks. So really that's what we should do over these next couple weeks. First, rejoice always. Well, what is joy? Well, Mother Teresa says joy is spelled J-O-Y. And that means J stands for Jesus, O stands for others, and Y stands for yourself. And Mother Teresa, who I would say is an expert in joy, because even in the midst of poverty, she brought joy to thousands and really millions of people. She says that to have joy in your life, you have to get that in the right order. You have to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. So how do you put Jesus first? Well, you do that by what you're doing now. Coming to Mass faithfully, maybe even going to some daily Masses during Advent, reading your Bible, spending time in prayer with the Lord, going to Eucharistic adoration, praying your rosary every day. So you put Jesus first. Your prayer life, your relationship with the Lord needs to be number one above anything else. And then O is for others. You put others second. Your spouse ahead of you, your needs of your spouse, the needs of your children ahead of yourself. So you put others second, and then you put yourself third. See, the world gets it all wrong, right? The world says self, put yourself first, do what you want to do. But that doesn't bring joy, as you know. The only way to get joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. So St. Paul says, rejoice always. Then he says, pray without ceasing. Well, how do you pray without ceasing? Well, the way you pray without ceasing is always being in the state of grace. If you're in the state of grace, then you are praying all the time because your soul is glorifying God because you're in the state of grace. If you commit mortal sin, you repent right away, go to confession, especially during Advent, go to confession to get back in the state of sanctifying grace. So make a good confession during Advent. So you want to be in the state of grace because then you're praying all the time because your life is glorifying your Heavenly Father. So how do you pray without ceasing? When you wake up in the morning, say the morning offering. Offer up every day all your prayers, all your works, all your joys and sufferings of the day to the Lord. Then your whole day is dedicated to God. Your whole day becomes a prayer. And throughout the day, you can say little prayers like, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for me. My God, I love thee. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you. Save souls. So you can pray little prayers throughout the day. So St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And then try to practice the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God, where all throughout the day, you realize that you're always in the presence of God. And during the day, you talk to God in your heart, now and then, throughout the day. And lastly, St. Paul tells us, in all circumstances, give thanks. He He says, in all circumstances, be grateful. That means during good times and bad, sickness or in health, richer or poorer, until the Lord calls us home. So in all circumstances, he says, give thanks. So this is what we should do over these next 2 weeks. Follow the life and spirituality of John the Baptist. Try to have Jesus increase within us and our own selfishness decrease. Try to do what St. Paul says, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks to God.